Like you to turn, if you have a Bible, to the prophet Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. A number of years ago, we were going through a difficulty in our family, and we were sharing with our family the problem. We contacted them, and my daughter-in-law, as we were sharing with them, and they began to pray. Our kids from South Florida gave us this little phrase as they were praying about it. They sent us some texts, and she said, "God's got this." And I have never forgot that little phrase. It was full of faith, and it took me kind of by surprise. I was thinking about the difficulty we were going through, but I really wasn't focused as I should have been on God. And when she said, "God's got this," I loved it. And I thought that was a great, great thought for us this weekend as we go to the Word, that God's got this. God's got this. And God has a purpose and a plan in all things. But we know that for some, they're in a place of trouble, in a place of difficulty. I know for my own family unit, that the news that began to unfold for our nation on Wednesday and Thursday, that for one of my sons that's involved in the entertainment industry with traveling with Mercy Me, that suddenly the whole tour was canceled. And, you know, this is their livelihood, and this is what they, you know, have been involved with for years. And suddenly they didn't have a job. My daughter-in-law in that same family unit works with a teacher as a teacher and with a special needs student, and they probably won't be having school, so she won't have her teaching work and assignment will suddenly go away. And so we know family units. I have a son-in-law that has a physical condition that means that he can't use public transportation, and it would be life-threatening for him to do that. And they live in the city of Chicago, so they don't use a car. They use bus and train, and so they're coming home. So just our family unit, this has impacted us. And I know many of you have your stories and how this is impacting you. And so we're aware of that. So tonight we're talking about the fact that God has this, and we want to talk about comfort for times, troubled times, when we're going through difficulty. We need comfort. And the Bible tells us that God is a God of comfort, that He wants to bring us comfort. And this Isaiah 40 text is a text of comfort. Now, certainly this first weekend, we won't cover all these verses. There's 31 of them, but we're going to break the chapter down, and we have an outline, and we'll break the chapter down, and we'll begin to work through the whole chapter of Isaiah chapter 40. And in fact, if you can, we can put that on the screen. You'll see just a bit of the breakdown of the chapter. And we're going to be looking at each of these points, and we're going to see in the first couple of verses that God has a plan, and that in all things God has a purpose, and that God has a plan, and we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about how we need to be prepared for what God is doing. We need to be welcoming in head and in heart the Lord and what He's doing. We want to have God's perspective, and for Israel at this point, as the prophet spoke, he gave them God's perspective of the situation. In verses 9 through 11, there's going to be a proclamation made from Jerusalem, and he talks about the importance of proclaiming what God is going to do. In verses 12 through 26, which is the major section of Isaiah chapter 40, there we're going to see that it's a faith-building section where the prophet speaks about who God is, the might and the power of the God of Israel and the God that you and I worship. And the personhood of God is spoken in those verses. And then the chapter ends with some incredible promises that were for Israel, but also there's promises for you and I to claim from the Word of God. There's hundreds of promises in Scripture, and we'll be looking at that. We know that for all of us, we have what I would call a fragile ecosystem. It doesn't take much to put us in a tailspin, and that's true for all of us. All you have to do is have a little illness or a little emotional disruption, and it can mess everything up, and it can cause us to feel out of balance and not in control. And this certainly has done that. This coronavirus has done that for the world. And I believe that as I said, there's all kinds of concerns, there's worries, and there's fears. And some of those are founded and some are not. We know that some are not real, that they're, those that have sought to use fear. But I believe that there is legitimate concern and worries. And so what I want to do is bring you into the presence of God and have you focus on the Word of God and focus on the help that God's Word has available for you and for me. And we know that God is a God of comfort. This text, we're going to read just the first two verses of Isaiah 40. And here it says that God wanted his children to, in fact, be comforted. He said, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her." Here we find that God wanted Israel to have a message of comfort. I want to make just a quick note. I won't give you all the background, but let me just note that Israel is a long ways from all of their problems being solved or all of their difficulties going away. In fact, they're 170 years away from the deliverance that Isaiah is addressing here. They have 100 years before captivity and then 70 years of captivity. And you say, well, how could the prophet be speaking words of comfort? It's because of the fact that God has been with Israel, knew Israel, loved Israel, that God had plans and purposes for all that they were going through, and God was going to be with them even in their difficulties. Because they had prophets that spoke God's word of comfort before they went through adversity, but also prophets went with them in adversity to speak the word of the Lord. So God was going to be with them. So this was an important word, even though its total fulfillment was far from present tense. It was a word of comfort. God is a God that wants to comfort you and I. He's a God that wants to comfort his children. The fact that he's called in Scripture a God of comfort. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 3. Here we find a classic text on comfort. And here Paul is giving praise and honor to the God of comfort. That's part of what we're doing tonight. We're singing songs of worship. This weekend, you've been led in a song of worship. We're going to end in a strong song of faith where we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness." Even though we're maybe in the midst of a difficulty, we know God's a faithful God. So here, Paul speaks about the God of all comfort, and he praises and blesses the Lord that's going to bring comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." This is a time when, you know, our own personal control is shaken. Our sense that everything is okay is shaken. It knocks what I call the props out of the false things that we've been leaning on. And this psalm is actually, or this, I'm sorry, this text of Paul is actually going to say that the time of trouble causes us not to trust in ourselves. And we'll look at that in a few moments. So here he says, this God of the God of mercy and of all comfort. It's part of God's nature to be a God of comfort, who comforts us, listen to the words, in all our tribulation. Not some of them, but he wants to be a part of all of our tribulation. And we all have kind of a long list of difficulties. Might be financial difficulties or emotional difficulties or physical difficulties, relational difficulties. We all have something that is a difficulty. Well, we need to know how to welcome God, bring God into that difficulty. And his presence and his power makes all the difference in the world. He's a God of comfort in all of our tribulation, in all of our troubles. Now, here it says that it's not without purpose. You see, as you and I are growing in our faith, and I think of texts like Romans 5, if you want additional texts to study, and James 1, they both tell us that when we go through difficulties, it causes us to grow. Amen. Well, you know, I have been around over 60 years, a long time. And we have never experienced what we're presently experiencing in my whole lifetime. Something like this has never happened before. And when you're going through a new path and a new journey, you gain new spiritual muscle. This is going to be a gaining for all of us to learn how to trust God with this new trial or new difficulty. For some, it's nothing more than an inconvenience. But hopefully you'll be positive in the inconvenience, not negative and pessimistic. We've all heard all the stories about toilet paper lines and you know, people hoarding, you know, and stealing hand sanitizers. And, you know, we're securing all the toilet paper at the church. So putting lock boxes on the toilet paper things just to, you know. But these are things we've never had. My wife told me that people were fighting over dog food. That dog food, people are fearful that their dogs won't have food. And so, man, you know, these are things we've never experienced before. And some of you say, it's all crazy. Well, not all of it, you know, not all of it. There's real fear and real difficulty and real struggles that some people are really going through. Maybe you're not. That's great. But God wants us to grow, and this text talks about that. It notes it in this thing. It says that God enters our troubles and comforts us, not just for us, but that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. As we grow, we're able to help others in their trouble. How are we going to help them? Well, with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We're going to be able to take them what? To the same source. Bring them to the same place of comfort. It might be a great opportunity that when people are stirred and troubled and you have peace and they go, man, what's wrong? Are you, you know, don't you know what's going on? It's like, yeah, but I know God's in control. I know who's on the throne. I know who holds me. And it, you know, so we don't diminish the fears and the anxiety and the difficulty. we tell them how they can be helped in that trouble, in that difficulty. And verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, Paul says, so our consolation abounds through Christ Jesus. So through Christ. So what did he find? Well, as he went through difficulty, he found that Christ was there. This is a testimony, a 2,000-year-old testimony that we're reading tonight about the adversities that Paul went through and how God brought him comfort. Isn't that great? There's nothing more powerful than a personal testimony about, you know, if someone has a diet plan and it's working, you want to do that diet plan. Or if they're exercising and it's working, you want to try that exercise program. Well, guess what? When we are comforted by God in our tribulation, our difficulties, we're able to testify that God was there for me. God helped me. And Paul is giving a testimony, and I'm attracted to that, drawn to that, and want to find the same comfort that Paul the Apostle went through as he went through many difficulties. The scripture lists the difficulties he went through. So he says, in direct proportion to suffering, the consolation of Christ abounds. So verse 5, as the sufferings of Christ abound, so consolation, measuring up. So whatever, we don't know what the future holds. They say things will probably get worse before they get better. So what is Paul noting here in this text? As the sufferings of Christ abound, so consolation abounds. It measures up. He brings his ministry with the difficulties. Verse 6, now if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for the same, enduring the same suffering which we also suffered. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. This maturity of Paul the Apostle, that he said, you know, I've gone through this for so that I've been comforted, so I can comfort you. He wasn't just thinking of himself. Well, you know, why is this happening to me? Well, maybe it is so that you can grow, so that you can minister to many others with the comfort which he, the Lord, is bringing you. And our hope, he says in verse 7, is our hope for you, our confident expectation for you is steadfast. We know that you're going to get through this. It's good to be a positive encouragement, a bright light. Remember what Jesus said? He said, you know, let your light so shine. Light is something that's positive and helpful and hopeful. Some people turn to other people, and when they're done talking to them, they're not better, they're worse. They're more depressed and more discouraged. We want to be, you know, those that well that refreshes, that, you know, brings hope and help. And I believe, like, one of my problems is I'm a talker but not a good listener. But I think we need to listen. I think here Paul speaks about identifying with people's place of pain, not putting them down, not acting pseudo-spiritual, like, you know, what's wrong with you? Don't you know? You know, people don't. The opportunity to be totally honest, share your heart, and then enter into that difficulty with them and say, you know, as I have gone through similar difficulties, I mean, if you haven't, you don't want to lie, but maybe I've gone through other difficulties, but God met me and comforted me. So this is a great chance, because there's a lot of people anxious. Comfort them with the comfort the Lord's comforting you. Receive his comfort. Receive his strength. And we'll talk about welcoming that. Well, it seems like we're taking a long time, but I want to go, let's go to verse 9. We'll just jump over. The next verses are great. Continues to talk about strength and encouragement. But I love verse 9 in this text. It says, yes, we had this sentence of death in ourselves. Listen to this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. This is what I want you to know. And I love this, because Paul talks about the difficulty he went through, and he said, this difficulty caused us to not be trusting in ourselves. I think that's one of the good things that's coming from this present crisis. It shakes us to not trust in ourselves. You know, we say we trust in God, but do we really trust in God? If suddenly we don't have the same measure of health or measure of wealth or sense of security, or our stocks aren't worth what they were earlier in the week, that suddenly like things aren't looking so bright, you know, that, you know, we're maybe not feeling well. I have people say, well, I'm just not feeling, you know, there's people that are nervous and not feeling as healthy as they did earlier in the week. There might be relational difficulties. There's tension and stress. So this shakes our trust in ourselves, but causes us to do what? Turn to God. So I believe that that's really a positive, that we would be a nation, that we'd be a church, that we'd be a people, that we're not trusting in, you know, this weekend is challenging for our ministry. We're not going to have 12 or 1,400 people gathering and giving offering and doing all the things that we usually do. It's we don't have those things. Well, we're trusting in the Lord. He's got this. God's got this. And it's good to know that. Well, it is in God's nature to comfort. That's what I want to begin with. God is the God of comfort. So let's welcome the comfort he has to bring. Let's do our part to welcome it. And then, as I love this text, because Paul says, you know, I wasn't comforted just for me. I was comforted so now I can bring you comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says that we are to comfort each other. How comforting are you to your mate and to your children? Some of my children are now coming home again. You know, Jared and Lily will be coming home. They're flying home Monday because they don't have jobs in Chicago. Their jobs are right now gone. And so they're coming home to work. But we're going to comfort them. We're going to bring comfort to your family and to your friends. Let's comfort them. So we have been called to comfort. Therefore, comfort each other. It's a clear command. God is a God of comfort. But until you've experienced his comfort, you can't bring his comfort to others. So let's ask that we would experience his comfort in new measures, new ways, as we've talked about the spiritual disciplines in his presence. He speaks peace in your storm. And most of us have, you know, some stormy weather happening. And we want to be with, I love when he was in the boat napping and the, you know, they're freaking out. He's totally chill. Jesus is not freaking out. He can speak peace to those storms, and he knew he could. But he wasn't going to do it immediately. He wanted them to not trust in themselves. He has perfect timing, and we know his timing's so different. He has a time for this trial, and we're going to see that in a moment, and I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're supposed to comfort. Verse 14 of the same text, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, "And we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted." Don't put them down because they're faint-hearted. What's wrong with you? Don't you have any faith? Where's your faith? No, comfort the faint-hearted. Help them, encourage them. Aren't you glad the Lord meets you when you're at that place of need and difficulty? Now, there's a text of Scripture that I think is really instructive. Because think of the domino effect. The domino effect. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 5. I'd like you to turn there. I have a feeling this is going to turn into a series. Which is all right, because Isaiah's. We'll get a measure. We'll start, but look what this says: For indeed, When we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. They were tired. And we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Verse 6. Nevertheless, God. You know, I think I'd say, I can't wait till I'm rested. Or I can't wait till I have more time. Or I can't wait till things are better. Well, good chance this side of heaven and our earthly journey, not going to happen. I have people that talk to me about retirement, and they say, man, I'm busier than ever. I'm tireder than I've ever been. I just can't keep up. Just, you know, well, here Paul says, you know, we're going through all these difficulties. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us. Listen to this. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. What I want you to see here is Paul going through a difficulty. Our bodies had no rest. One of my nephews is right now, and I won't say the word right, but he's in Alaska and he's in the Adirondack. He's over the halfway mark. Started with 14 dogs, and he has 12 left. You know, and it's quite an adventure. I mean, we've been praying for him, and heard a picture and heard an interview of you know, after 3 or 4 days of this grueling Iditarod. I mean, it's grueling. And he spoke about, you know, how tired, you could see he looked like he had aged 20 years, the picture we saw, you know. You know, he's been trained, and he's got a seasoned veteran which has been training and encouraging him. And here we see that the help of others was going to help Paul the apostle. He said, I was all these things. Our bodies had no rest. That's what Damon's feeling right now. His body has no rest. Takes little naps, and then they go. Amazing. Troubled on every side, wind and temperature and difficulties, and, you know, their bodies, and there's things that would cause fear. But here, when Paul was in the midst of this, he said, nevertheless, God, he knew who the source was, comforts us, comforts the downcast. How? Comforted us by the coming of Titus. Who does God use to bring comfort? He uses people like you and me to bring comfort to others. Look at what it goes on to say in verse 7. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted by you. So someone, those in Corinth, comforts Titus, and Titus goes and comforts Paul. One person comforts another person, which comforts another person. Who knows the ripple effect of positive faith and trust in God, finding him to be the one that has brought consolation, has consoled my heart, has done what David said in the 23rd Psalm, he restores my soul. Picture of the sheep that's heavy and wool, laden with dew from the night, finding himself with, feet upward and lost the ability, his mobility, and he couldn't have possibly brought himself over. But the shepherd came and restored the sheep. Well, his soul was restored. When you are restored, you restore someone else, and then they can restore someone else, which can restore someone else. That comfort. So one person helping another person, which helps another person. Well, let's spend the next 10 minutes or so and looking at this beautiful text in Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm just going to do a little bit of a running commentary of this beautiful text. And it's a beautiful text of comfort that I want you to receive this weekend that I hope will, I want to be pastoral to our whole flock that gathers in household or, you know, as you're driving on the road this week. And there's going to be, you're going to hear all the news and you know, your faith it might be a little eroded, and you might be discouraged, and fear might start creeping in. I want you to see Israel in a very difficult time, and I want you to see the deliverance the Lord had planned for them. So as we look at our outline, we see that the first point comes from the first two verses, and we see that God had a plan. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God, speak comfort to Jerusalem, cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquities is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, what it's noting here is that the Lord sees into the future and sees the deliverance of Israel from their present difficulty. You see, God has a plan. He is an eternal God. He sees past and future all the same. He knows the end of the story. And he knows that even though Israel's facing some very difficult days, that he's gonna take them through those difficult days. He has something he's gonna do during those difficult days, and then he has a plan to deliver them from those difficulties. What a plan that God has. And not only the Bible says that God has a plan for you and a plan for me. He has a plan according to Romans 8:28. In all things, there's a plan, there's a purpose. And that's good to know because we don't know why these things happen. You know, it's not the first of viruses or pandemics or worldwide difficulties. They have always been since the fall of humanity that there has been sickness and disease and death. So these things don't take us by surprise. We're not going to be shaken by something that's always been a truth since the fall and promised by God that because of sin, there would be death and there would be disease. And it's not okay that there is an ultimate deliverance found in Jesus from all of these things. He has promised us an eternity with no more sickness, no more sorrow, and no more pain. But this world is cursed. And so there will be. This isn't the last one. Not the first nor the last. And that doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It does matter. But to know that there is a God that has a plan. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says that to everything there is a season. Everything, there's a season. The word season means that everything has a duration of a time beginning and an ending time. It won't last forever. We tell young parents that. We have one of our staff, Matt, his wife, have a new baby, and so now there's three of them, and that time change and new babies. He's looking a little blurry-eyed if you see him these days. Cross-eyed, tired out, exhausted. And know what we tell young parents all the time? This season will pass. It passes. They grow up. Then they keep you up for other reasons because they don't come home until late, you know, or they're on the phone half the night or whatever, other things. But seasons, guess what? Everything has a season. This will pass. We are in a place of crisis, national crisis. But guess what? It'll pass. There's a season, and it has a time. And it's good it's not just random and out of control, that it has a duration with God's purposes to be fulfilled, God's purposes to be accomplished. So I love when I look here that God wanted to bring comfort, and he reminded them, I have a plan, and you're going to go through this difficulty. And it's the reason for the difficulty was because, for Israel, it was because of sin. But it wasn't going to last forever. And God had a plan. And it was noted in other texts of Scripture. I love the text in Genesis 50, verse 20, where Joseph says, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for a good. God allowed, I mean, you think of 14 years of disappointment, pain, and difficulty. We've only been going through a little bit of time, but he for 14 years had a dream and was excited. Well, his life was full of hope. Suddenly, when the difficulties came, was all the hope and promise gone? No. It's not gone. You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. God has, there's a season, and God has a purpose in all things. Now, I think we should receive what God has allowed, and see, I want to glean everything I can out of it. How can I grow spiritually? It's knocking those props out that I shouldn't trust in myself. How can I grow in greater faith in God? Because this difficulty, this trial, I believe every trial is preparatory for the next one. You go, oh boy, that's great, Pastor. How encouraging. Well, yeah, it is, because life is not without difficulty. You know, if you take the chick, starts pecking at the shell from the inside, and you say, oh, I'm going to help it out. Start chipping and taking, you take that fight away and the chick won't survive. You got to let it struggle. That builds muscle that will cause it to be able to survive. Parents do it with children. It kills us to watch them struggle. We want to help them, deliver them. We have to let them grow. Well, guess what? God is letting us grow. God has a good in this. He has a plan, and he has a purpose. This is a season. He's telling Israel, deliverance is coming. Not yet, but it's coming. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 3 through 5. Listen to this. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God, where every valley shall be exalted, the valleys exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places made straight, and the rough places smooth. Now, we know, and I guess I'll read verse 5 also, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, we know that there is a prophetic word here about the forerunner of Jesus. But before we run to that quick conclusion, let's note here, first of all, that I believe that the prophet is speaking to a group of people, present tense, that needed to hear this word. And I want you to see that what we have here is the preparation for welcoming the Lord into their lives, but also into the situation. It's talking about giving the welcome that you'd give to a king. If a king were to travel, they would do everything they can to make it the path, you know, easy, the path, you know, welcoming and smooth. And here, what I want you to think about is, in head and in heart, preparing your being for welcoming what the Lord in his presence right now in this difficult situation we're in. Give the Lord's welcome. For the prophet, he was speaking to Israel at that time, not just about John the Baptist that was to come, but it was a message for them in the here and now. Well, we do the same thing. There's times when we don't have time for the Lord, not welcoming of the Lord. We can be so full of all the news and all the information and all the negative and pessimistic things out there, filled with that, welcoming that, but not welcoming the word of the Lord to us in this situation. What does God have to say? The text talks about preparation for the Lord. So this is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Take that to heart. How can I prepare the Lord's welcome into my mind to think what he wants me to think, and into my heart to respond the way he wants me to respond? In this difficult time, what is he saying to me? How can I grow? What dross needs to be, you know, driven out with the fire of affliction, that I'd be more pure and a ready servant for him? How can I prepare for that which God is seeking to say to me? Prepare the way of the Lord. In the next verses, and we won't go there tonight, but in the next verses, as we get perspective, we're going to see that the difficulty was that there were going to be foreign rulers that were going to take Israel into captivity. And what the prophet was going to do for them is put in perspective who they were compared to God. Let me just say, if you'll put God up against any problem, you'll find him to be bigger. If you put God up against any difficulty, you'll find him to be stronger. What the prophet is going to do is give them perspective. If we can have that outline again, that third point is that he's going to give them perspective in verses 6 through 8. Yeah, see who men are. Men are merely men that are temporary, but God is eternal. That is forever. Now, I want to end with a couple promises, because I think we need some promises to encourage us. And I know our worship group is getting ready and going to end with a song, so you're welcome to do that. And as we just end with a couple promises, as you turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31, he gives this promise: those that wait on the Lord, he has promised that he'll do this. He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And so it's my hope that in this difficult time, that you will claim the promise that God wants to give you strength and give you help, that the Lord would encourage your heart to know how to trust in him and lean upon him. Let's be a bright light in a very dark time in our world today. Let's demonstrate what it means to be in difficulty, difficult waters, stormy seas, that we know that the Prince of Peace is with us. I pray your blessing on your word, Lord, to your people, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, that your grace would be poured upon us. We welcome your grace, which is sufficient, the Bible says. Strengthen us. Courage us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you have a great week. God bless you.